Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Stay tuned as we look into the book of Acts.
When you walk into the room, everything changes. Darkness starts to tremble at the light that you bring. And when you walk into the room, every heart starts burning. And nothing matters more than just to sit here at your feet and worship you. We worship you, oh. We love you. We'll never stop. Can't live without you, Jesus. We love you, and we can't get enough. All this is for you, Jesus. Starts to vanish, every hopeless situation ceases to exist. And when you walk into the room, the dead begin to rise, 'cause there's resurrection life in all you do. Hearts are yours, we want you. We want you. Come and consume, God, all we are. We give you permission. Our hearts are yours, we want you. We want you.
Welcome to this edition of the Bethany Hour. Thank you for joining with us as we look to Scripture for help and direction as we follow Jesus Christ. Pastor Adams will return in just a moment. Bethany Assembly of God is located in Agawam, Massachusetts, at the corner of Main Street and Route 57. Our Sunday services are at 9 a.m. for our traditional service and 11 a.m. for our contemporary service. Our midweek service on Wednesday includes programs and services for all age groups. Log on to our website at bethany-ag.org for more information about these and other services.
Welcome to the Bethany Hour. Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed once again looking into the book of Acts. We're in chapter number 15, verse number 36. We had just talked about Paul and Barnabas. They were going to the council in Jerusalem, and they were discussing the inclusion of Gentiles into the kingdom of God, and those who receive Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior become part of God's family, just like the Jewish people had been, but now it's an open to anyone who would receive Christ.
You know, I love that word. A lot of people know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, that whoever or whosoever is the King James. You know, it's a universal call. It goes out to everybody, male, female, any tribe, tongue, nation. And if you have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, you can be saved.
So Paul and Barnabas are finishing up at the Council of Jerusalem. They make a few decisions, and then all of a sudden in verse number 36, it says, "Sometime later, Paul said to Barnabas, 'Let us go back and visit the brothers in all the towns where we preach the word of the Lord and see how they are doing.'" Now, this is a wonderful, I think, explanation of the commitment that Paul and Barnabas had to not only sow seed, but to go back and water it to make sure that it's growing properly and make sure that there's nothing that's coming in, weeds and thorns and things like this.
You know, Jesus definitely said that we would bear fruit and fruit that would last. And like you said, there's times when teaching can go astray or people will come in and twist it and make it say something it was never meant to say. So he's definitely wanting to go back, follow up, make sure they're still on the right path.
And he says he wants to go back to all the towns. Now, that's pretty cool. He doesn't just pick. Sometimes, you know, you say, well, I just want to go to this town because it's a little nicer than the other one.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I've had people that I would send out to different churches that we had planted in Taiwan, and they were small factory churches, and some were 300, and some were 12 and 15.
Yeah.
And I always had people, well, they wanted to go to the 300. They didn't want to go to the 15. And so if you have a town that's really accepted you, and there's some places that actually bruise these people. They beat them up, and they did bad things, stoned them, and left them for dead.
Yeah.
But he says, I want to go back to all these towns.
You know, and I don't understand that about Paul. The minute you said that, I was thinking, you know, why would he want to go back?
Why do you want to go back to somebody that treats you that way?
Because you know they're going to remember what they did, and to see you coming back, they're going to rally the troops again and say, hey, let's take the guy out again.
It's truly amazing, a commitment in their heart to preach the gospel. And obviously, if you sow seeds and there are some people that receive them, well, you want to really make sure that they're solid. And the people who there gave you a hard time, you want to make sure that they're not influencing those who actually have received the gospel. So he's going to go back to all the towns that they went to. Now, that's not a small task either.
No.
Not in those days.
Especially back then. They traveled, walked. You know, maybe rode a donkey or whatever. But it definitely was a commitment. And you see, like you said, something about their heart. Something about Paul and Barnabas's hearts. And as you read Paul's letters, you know, the epistles, his letters to the churches, you really get that sense that Paul felt responsible for the word that he shared. Obviously, Jesus builds the church, but he was a spiritual father to many of these people, and that's how he looked at himself.
It's, you know, I always thought, and, you know, there was, when I used to study missions, and of course, I was a missionary for 18 years, and when I studied missions, I studied the older missionaries. They would take a steamship, or they took a ship, and it'd take them 3 months to get to wherever they were going. And I often envied them, because for 3 months on a ship, you could study the word, you could do some work, you could do all kinds of rest time and be ready when you arrived. Today, you get on a plane, and 13 hours later, you're already across the world, and you have to be ready to go.
And you're exhausted.
And you're exhausted.
The flight is, you know, depending on where you sit in the plane, you get
You've
off.
Been there, you know.
Oh, man.
Hit Africa like you guys did, and you're exhausted, and you got to hit the ground running.
Right.
So these guys, it's interesting, because like you mentioned, sometimes they would have to walk a distance. It would take time for them to get there. You had a lot of downtime and a lot of good time for you as far as you're contemplating and thinking about what's going to happen. But today, we live in a crazy world.
It's just so fast.
It's so quick and It's like grease lightning.
And the expectations are so high.
Yeah,
you know,
social media.
Do this, do that.
Answer
do this.
Right away.
Yeah, have it ready for me right here, right now, you know, where before it took a little bit of time.
It took some time, even when there was a letter. It took time to deliver the letter. Yeah. Today, people want a response right away.
You know, click. Okay, done with the letter. Off you go.
How come you haven't responded yet?
Yeah, it's been 30 seconds. You got my text.
So there was a little bit of time period here when they're going to go visit all these towns, it took some time.
Sure.
But when they're going, they were going to where they had preached the word before. So that's an interesting concept, because sometimes we want to go where the gospel's never, ever been preached before.
Yeah.
And we understand that. But there is a place, according to Scripture, that you need to go back to where the gospel has been preached so that you can continue in depth the work that the Lord is doing in those places.
Right. You know, and immediately after the word was preached, they immediately started to contend for the faith, if you will, because false teachers came in. And like I said, Paul wrote about it in Galatians and Timothy. He said, listen, there's people that are coming in that are going to take the simple message of Jesus Christ being God in the flesh, dying on the cross, rising from the dead, and coming back, they're going to take that and they're going to throw you into confusion. Maybe they'll preach a different Jesus. Maybe they'll preach a works-based thing where it's not faith anymore. So all sorts of little things cropped up. He had to go back and protect the truth that was presented. Even today, in the church today, there's a lot of churches out there that say they preach the truth, but some of it's not really the truth anymore.
No, it's truth. Apologetics is necessary. You have to be able to defend the faith.
Yeah.
And so that's what they're going to do, make sure these people are able to defend the faith against all the different kinds of religious activities that were going on, especially back, I think, in these days, because you actually had things that we may consider in America as really atrocious, like they dedicated children to Moloch. They actually they threw them in a fire. Well, you know, they're killing babies. Well, what are we doing with abortion?
Hey.
I mean, we've got issues that we're facing today.
Exactly.
I'm not so sure that it was that different, but yet, nevertheless, there was deception, and that had to be corrected.
Amen.
So it says in verse 37, on this trip, as they're going to go to all the different towns where they've been, Barnabas wants to take John. He's related to John, also called Mark, with him. But Paul didn't think it was wise to take him because he had deserted them in Pamphylia and had not continued with them in the work. So I don't know what happened to John Mark, but we know that he started off with Barnabas and with Paul, and something happened where he left them.
Yeah.
Maybe he got discouraged.
Yeah.
Maybe the pay wasn't good.
Right.
I don't know what it was. Something caused him to leave them, and it could have been something in the family.
Right.
We don't really know. At least we don't really have a good idea what it was. Some people may speculate. But Paul is looking for people who are committed, and he's saying, well, Mark was not as committed as I am.
Yeah.
As I am.
As I am.
That's
yeah.
the deal.
Paul's one of those, if you look at him and kind of review him as a character, as a person, you kind of see that type A-driven.
Driven. Pharisee of the Pharisee.
Yeah. And so he's got this passion about him, and he wants people surrounding him that have that same fire in their belly to go out and do the job. And listen, if you turn back on me, okay.
That's it.
That's fine. You can go ahead and do it. But listen, next time I'm putting a team together, you're not on the team. Just saying.
Well, sometimes there are differences. Christians certainly can have differences and disagreements among each other. You find that in churches. Every once in a while at Bethany, because of the size of the church, you'll see someone who had a difference with somebody else. They sit on one side of the pulpit, one side of the church, and another all the way on the other side of the church. And fortunately, the church is big enough so they don't even have to see each other, or they don't have to even meet each other.
Right.
And I was talking to an individual, and he says, no, I've been getting along pretty good with this person because I never see him. I don't see him, and I don't look for him, and I don't see him. But if I do, I say hello. So things have gotten away. But there are disagreements that take place between Christians. You just can't help it.
Because we're people.
Yeah. And so we have to come to a place where if we disagree, we agree to disagree, and we still go forward in the work that God has called us to do. And if we have a difference in opinion, it could be over politics, because look at what's happened in America.
Yeah. It's definitely so true. Even in the church, we can all worship the same Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, but we're made differently. God even created us differently, gave us different spirits. So you got the type A personalities, and then you have some other people, maybe who are very hospitable, very relational, that just want to sit and talk and relate to people, where other people want to get the job done. They're driven. You know, give me the task to do, and I will get that task done. Other people are kind of people-oriented. And while somebody else is off doing a task, other people are going to be sitting around and communicating and connecting. So all types of people, all sorts of different, and some people get upset because, hey, we should all be out doing this task while they're doing something else. And, you know, a little bit of transference there. And so I think that's kind of what's happening here with Paul and Barnabas. Barnabas is an encourager.
He's an encourager, so he wants to encourage his relationship.
Right. And Paul, give me the job. I'm going to get the job done. So
there's a perception of reality here that's coming on. Barnabas may be, like you say, an encourager. He's more interested in the relationship and building Mark up. And even though he might have slipped and failed, he wants him to continue to grow. And we don't really know what it was that caused Mark not to come. But like you said, Paul says, that's it. You know, you didn't you joined the team. You didn't stick with the team.
Yeah.
And if you're a SEAL Team 6 person, you don't leave anybody behind.
You don't.
You stay there. You're there for the process.
Yeah.
You're right about that. And so it says in verse number 39, they had such a sharp disagreement that they parted company. Barnabas took Mark and sailed for Cyprus. So divisions, even in the church, we have it in the Bible. That's that's wonderful to me that oftentimes when people look at the scriptures, they always say, well, that's great, but the scriptures never really give you a real picture. If anything, the scriptures are very real. They show you all the warts and all the problems and challenges people have. And here's a challenge with relationship that took place.
That's what I love about the Bible.
It's wonderful.
From Genesis to Revelation, it shows the good, the bad, all the challenges, the ugly. You know, and like right here, here's a major issue that's happening here, but it doesn't bring damage to the church.
Right.
And in the end, you can kind of see how some stuff works out here. But even when there's division, the work of the ministry still goes on. Now, some people have gotten hurt in church, and it has devastated them.
Yeah.
And as a pastor, I know you and I have both dealt with it with people and really tried to help people move past that. And here we see these two guys. They can't agree, but they can still move forward and still continue the work and still be useful to the Lord.
Yeah, I think if disagreement takes place between you and someone else, you just cannot let bitterness and hostility divide you and bring you to a place where you become bitter and you stop doing the work of the Lord.
Yeah.
We see that there was a division, and so they just separated.
They went two different ways.
But they kept doing the work of the Lord.
Exactly.
That's the key, even though they were doing it with different people.
Sure.
So it goes on, and he says that Paul chose Silas now. So Barnabas takes Mark, and off they go. So Paul says, I'm going to take Silas with me.
Yeah.
So he takes Silas, and they left, commended by the brothers to the grace of our Lord. And he went through Syria, Cilicia, strengthening the churches. And so we've got Mark and Barnabas as a team, and Paul and Silas. And what are they doing? They're strengthening the churches.
You know, and that's exciting to me, because if it was Paul and Barnabas, they're a great team, powerful team. We saw what they did for the first couple of chapters here.
Yep.
Now you got two dynamic teams.
There's a split.
There's a split, but this split now has two dynamic teams that are going forth. And so instead of division, there was actually multiplication, if you kind of look at it from a mathematical standpoint.
Yeah, so, I like that. And and I think sometimes we're always, and even myself, I don't like to see churches that split. I don't like to see that happening. But sometimes God knows that's the only way he's going to get another church started.
There you go.
And so here he's got two teams, like you mentioned, instead of one. And they're both going to continue the work of the Lord. That's exciting.
You know, and it's also very exciting, because even though we have this moment right here, and it seems really disheartening, the great thing is as you continue to read, and it doesn't talk about it here in the book of Acts, but one of Paul's later letters talks about John Mark again. He brings him up.
He does later on.
And then he says, you know what?
Bring him.
Bring him with you, because he's useful to me. There was a restoration there.
There was a restoration.
So that's exciting as well. So even for a time, there may be some, you know, division. There may be some separation. There may be some relational issues. All of this is happening in the community of the church. And you're always going to have a little friction when people are working together. But a little while later, there's Paul and John restore their relationship. So that's exciting to me. I can be excited about this because I know the rest of the story.
Yeah, we know the rest of the story. And oftentimes one person has a different focus than another person.
Right.
But that's the way God created us. He gives different ministries to different people, and so they focus on different things. We obviously know the Apostle Paul was very interested in preaching the gospel where it's never been preached. Go out there and continually build the church. And perhaps maybe Mark was maybe a little bit more like an encourager,
yep.
and he felt like he needed to do something different. So Barnabas and Paul, like you say, do something different.
Yeah. Now, I think this John Mark, if I'm not mistaken, is the one that wrote the book of Mark. I can't remember if that's true or not. And if it is, he goes by John Mark. But, you know, you think about it, he may have got connected with Peter. And through that, he was able to write, if it's the same guy, the Gospel of Mark, which is an exciting thing as well.
Well, there's disagreement oftentimes within churches, within church politics, within church personnel. There's disagreements that take place. Yeah. And I don't know where you're at, if perhaps maybe you had a disagreement that have taken place in your life. But if you read these particular things, the work of the Lord continued on. So what happens is that the enemy will take disagreements and he will turn them into a barrier for you to continue working what God has called you to do.
Yeah.
And if God calls you to do something, don't let a disagreement you have with a person or with a church or with any kind of organization that is preaching the good news, don't let that disagreement separate you from the work that God's called you to do.
Yeah. I mean, you may have to deal with some hard issues. Part of it may be you. Part of it may be the other person. We can't control what other people think and do. We can't do that. We can only control how we deal with it. You know, I've heard the statistic, life is about 10% what happens to us, 90% how you react to it. And so right here, I think they did what needed to be done, because had they hung out together, I think Paul would have been a little edgy with this guy and probably, you know, just he had his issues and Paul needed to work through it and Barnabas and John Mark had to do all that. But in the end, there was healing and restoration.
Yeah, and they worked through it.
Yeah.
And I've heard people say, well, if you have disappointment, all you have to do is change the D. If you change the D in disappointment, it becomes his appointment.
There you go.
So it's obviously this was God's will to get two teams now to go out rather than one. And so this disappointment that they may have had turns into his appointment.
Yeah.
And it can be the same in your life.
Amen.
If you just have the H, change the D to an H. Yeah. In other words, him. Let Jesus be the one that changes your life.
That's good.
And it changes disappointment to his appointment. And you'll find that God will bring about a restoration in your life, either with the church or with an individual, because that will continue the work of the Lord.
Amen.
Hey, this is Pastor Adams and Pastor Reed. We wish you a great day. God bless.